Hey, let's start out with talking about the most recent news of the day here. It looks like no big surprise, Jose Bautista headed back to the Toronto Blue Jays. Why wasn't there a bigger market for him out there?
Well, look, here's a guy who was getting up in years, and there was a draft pick attached to him. You know, he's a guy that teams obviously like to keep those first-round picks, and if you signed him, you would have had to surrender that to Toronto. You know, I just think in this day and age, there's so many options out there with this winter. You look at guys like Mark Trumbo and Mike Napoli, and obviously there was Encarnacion early, Chris Carter, you know, the sort of aging slugger who maybe doesn't have that much defensive versatility or speed or that other stuff and hit home runs. There was such a glut of them this year that I just think it really kind of cooled the market for him. He was also not coming off a very good year, but the way things work now, you know, with in the sort of PED testing era, when you're getting, you know, on the wrong side of 35 and you're starting to decline, teams don't really want to give up more than a year, you know, commit to more than a year on a contract, and I think he fell victim to that as well.
You mentioned some of the other fairly big names that are out there and still available in free agency. Where do you see as potential landing spots for the guys who are left?
Well, there aren't a whole lot of teams. I think, you know, this looks like Toronto is probably out of the market for another bat. Philadelphia was a team that, you know, might have been looking for somebody. They're signing Michael Saunders. Colorado's a team, I think, that a lot of people are keeping an eye on. You know, they have Ian Desmond, who they signed playing first base, and I think the sense is they'd like to move him to center field, but they probably have to trade Charlie Blackmon, so there's a hitch for them. I think Baltimore is a team, you know, I could see Trumbo maybe going back there. They really could use another bat, you know, corner outfield, first base type of guy. You know, but there really aren't a lot of teams left out there that have that kind of money to spend. You know, I think that's the other issue. And, you know, Texas is the other team, I think, that, you know, I could certainly see Napoli going back there maybe and playing first base. But just saw today that Josh Hamilton, who they're bringing back, is going to, you know, try to play first base. So there just aren't that many chairs. And when the music stops, there are going to be some guys who are left without a team.
Which teams would you say, Jerry, have improved themselves the most in this offseason?
Well, look, I think when you look at the Red Sox, obviously picking up a Chris Sale, you know, that's a huge, big deal. You know, that's the kind of thing that is a sort of a franchise, you know, changing kind of deal. You know, and I think there are other clubs that obviously have addressed needs. I mean, the Cubs go out and get Wade Davis as a closer, and the Giants, who had bullpen issues, going out and getting Mark Melanson as a closer. Obviously, Cleveland adding Edwin Encarnacion. I mean, that was a guy that, you know, normally you wouldn't associate with a team like that, but for them to spend that kind of money and commit to him is obviously a big deal. And, you know, early in the offseason, I know Houston was a team that added some guys like Carlos Beltran and Ryan McCann. So a lot of the moves, it's been such a long offseason, and a lot of them took place in November and December. They kind of all meld in together a little bit.
We're talking baseball here with Jerry Krasnick of ESPN. Jerry, the Hall of Fame announcement coming up. How many guys do you think will get in this year, and who do you feel like the biggest locks are to make it?
Well, you know, they do this sort of public accounting of who's going to, you know, how guys are doing based on the ballots, and it looks like Jeff Bagwell and Tim Raines, I think, are pretty solid. You know, here are guys who we probably have half the ballots in already publicly, and here are guys around 90%. So they don't have to do that great on the remaining ballots, and I think they're both going to make it. Pudge Rodriguez could be interesting. You know, I think he might sneak in on the first ballot. And the real nail-biting is going to be with Trevor Hoffman and Vladimir Guerrero. You know, here are two guys who are hovering in that 73 to 74% range. And so a lot of times when they go to the anonymous ballots and the names aren't attached, those tend to be more of the small hall kind of guys, you know, guys who don't have 10 players on their ballot, might be a little bit more discriminating. But the sense seems to be that maybe it might help Hoffman, because we might be talking some of the older voters then, and they might be voters that place a little bit more value in save totals. And obviously he has over 600, so that might help him. So right now I think we got two locks, one guy who I think is a probable, and two just complete coin flips. And, you know, with Guerrero and Hoffman, it's probably going to be a matter of, you know, a few votes either way out of well over, you know, 400 voters.
With the change in the voting rules and transparency coming next year, will it be the PED era guys that benefit the most from that?
I'm not sure that you're talking about making the vote public, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know that it's really going to help the PED guys. You know, I think a lot of times if you are in favor of PED guys in the past, and you announce that publicly, you might get dressed down by, you know, people. So I don't know that that's necessarily going to have an impact on that. I do think what you might see is, you know, instead of these guys like Griffey, who get 99% and are left off three ballots, it's probably going to be pretty hard if you're one of those guys now to, you know, to exclude somebody like that. So we might, for the first time in history, actually you know, some players now get 100% of the vote.
You had a really interesting piece up on ESPN.com, a conversation with five current members of the Hall of Fame, and I was especially taken with their thoughts on the character clause in that whole issue.
Yeah, well, I think it's something that's applied, you know, very broadly. You could say the good or bad character is reflected in PED use. You know, as Jim Palmer, one of the guys I talked to, talked about, you know, Don Sutton scuffing a baseball, or Gaylord Perry, you know, using slippery elm. I mean, is that bad character, or is that being, you know, using guile and as a gamesmanship? So, and then obviously Curt Schilling is a guy who's been in the news, you know, for his comments that are, you know, pretty inflammatory sometimes on Twitter. I personally don't think that's something I would apply to him. You know, I think, you know, I'm not thrilled, to be honest with you, with some of the things he's said. I disagree with things that he said online, and I don't think it's helped him, you know, in his career or publicly. But on the other hand, you know, he's been retired for 10 years, and he was a pretty exemplary player when he played. He was a good character guy then. So I certainly wouldn't hold that kind of stuff against him now when I'm filling out my ballot.
Some of the Hall of Famers you talked to had a different view than perhaps people in the media do about stats and those milestone stats that many of us think for many years were the guarantees of getting into the Hall. And I thought it was interesting that they talked about perhaps it was more important to be a dominant guy in your era than to have accumulated stats.
Yeah, you know, Jim Palmer actually kind of indicated that even with the steroid guys. You know, I think his thought was, look, Bonds and Clemens, even if they were PED guys, were still the best players in their era. So I think that's something you have to think of. And I also think you have to look, for instance, with pitchers at win total. You know, it's just pitchers don't, they're out of there after six innings, you know, seven innings. They're not going to get decisions as much. So I think, you know, the 300 win number is probably out the window. We might not see any of those anymore. And in terms of 500 homers, which is a benchmark for a long time, it's kind of interesting because, you know, back in the day, that was the big number. And then when McGuire and Sosa and these guys played, people said, well, maybe it's going to be 600. You know, maybe you have to get 600 to get there. And now that they've, you know, probably put a bite in the steroid use with the stronger testing, you know, we're probably back down to 500 again, if maybe not you know, 400 because you're not going to see guys hitting 60 home runs or 70 home runs like you did during the go-go days.
Jerry Krasnick writes about baseball for ESPN and Baseball America. Jerry, always great talk with you. Thanks for being with us this afternoon, and we'll catch you again soon.
Thanks, Rich.